Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and most heated debates from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is episode 350, and we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, March 29th, 2026. We have got a really fantastic lineup for you today.
We really do. We are going to talk about a growing movement against Palantir in Europe, a wild twist in microplastics research involving the very gloves scientists wear, and a nostalgic look at the mind-blowing engineering of Voyager 1.
Plus, we will dive into how ChatGPT is using Cloudflare to literally read your React state to stop bots, and a really frustrating story about a Tennessee woman wrongfully arrested due to AI facial recognition.
Let us kick things off with our top story, which grabbed over 500 points yesterday. There's a major petition circulating from We Move Europe called Say No to Palantir in Europe.
Right. The petition is calling on European governments and the EU to stop signing new contracts with the US surveillance giant Palantir and to review and phase out existing ones. They are arguing that Europe should not be handing over sensitive public systems, healthcare data, and police records to a private US company.
The context here is pretty heavy. The petition points out Palantir's involvement in various global conflicts and mass deportations. They even quote Palantir CEO Alex Karp talking about how the company is here to scare enemies and occasionally kill them. But what really got the Hacker News community talking was just how deeply embedded Palantir already is across Europe, often without much public awareness.
Exactly. In the comments, a user named Niki Preki pointed out that Palantir is already widespread in the Netherlands, allegedly being used by Amsterdam Airport, the Dutch police, and the army. Another user mentioned the highly controversial move in the UK, where the NHS handed over massive amounts of patient data to Palantir during the COVID pandemic.
That NHS deal is a huge sticking point. There was a big debate in the thread about where that data actually lives. Some users thought it was moved to US servers, but others corrected that, saying the defense usually given is that Palantir only provides the tech, and the data stays in the UK under native control. Still, the reputation of Palantir makes people incredibly uneasy, especially with things like the US Cloud Act hovering in the background.
And it brings up a broader tech trend we see debated on HN all the time: European tech sovereignty. One commenter mentioned they are moving all their clients out of US-based offerings entirely, using only open source and EU-based cloud services. But as another user pointed out, building a startup is hard enough without artificially limiting your toolset just for political reasons. Europe really needs to build competitive alternatives if they want to break this reliance on American tech giants.
Moving on to our next story, this one is a bit of a plot twist in the scientific community. A study from the University of Michigan suggests that the nitrile and latex gloves scientists wear might be causing them to overestimate the amount of microplastics in their samples.
This is fascinating. So manufacturers coat disposable gloves with these soap-like particles called stearates to make them easier to peel off the molds. It turns out these stearates look visually identical to microplastics under a microscope, and they are chemically very similar to polyethylene too.
The researchers were testing air samples in Michigan and found thousands of times more microplastics than they expected. It led them on this wild goose chase, testing plastic squirt bottles and lab air, until they finally traced the massive contamination back to the very gloves they were wearing to prepare the slides.
They found that standard lab gloves were leaving behind about 2,000 false positives per square millimeter just from normal contact. They are now recommending researchers switch to clean room gloves, which do not have that stearate coating. But what I loved about this post was the classic Hacker News comment section debate about scientific methodology.
Oh, absolutely. You had the classic armchair experts chiming in. One user was baffled that scientists didn't take this into account from day one, comparing it to using ceramic knives to avoid metal contamination in biology labs. But then the actual subject matter experts jumped into the thread to set the record straight.
Yeah. A user named Dahart pointed out that the microplastics research community is actually very aware of contamination risks. They use strict quality controls, document their methodology obsessively, and use baseline samples. The issue here was not a lack of control, it was a classification problem. The stearates were fooling the specific light-based spectroscopy they were using.
It is a great reminder of how incredibly difficult it is to measure things at the nanomolar level. When you are looking for a needle in a haystack, and the haystack is made of things that look exactly like needles, it is a tough job. But the researchers did say they found a statistical way to differentiate the false positives, so old data sets can potentially be saved and corrected.
Let us shift gears from the microscopic to the cosmic. Our next story is a beautiful tribute to the Voyager 1 spacecraft. The article is titled, A 1977 Time Capsule. Voyager 1 runs on 69 kilobytes of memory and an 8-track tape recorder.
This piece really struck a chord with the HN crowd. Voyager 1 is currently over 15 billion miles from Earth, traveling at 38,000 miles per hour in interstellar space. And it is doing all of this on a computer that executes about 81,000 instructions per second. Your smartphone is roughly a million times more powerful than the brains of the spacecraft.
The detail that always blows my mind is the 8-track tape recorder. When we hear 8-track, we think of those clunky plastic consumer cartridges from the 70s that played Led Zeppelin. But the digital tape recorder on Voyager was a custom-built, belt-driven masterpiece by a company called Odetics. It used a half-inch magnetic tape designed to survive extreme radiation and temperature swings.
And it worked flawlessly for decades. They only shut it down in 2007 because the spacecraft's nuclear power supply was dwindling and they needed to conserve energy. The tape recorder never actually failed. That is just staggering engineering.
The comments were full of reverence. People were discussing the Grand Tour Gravity Assist, which was a rare planetary alignment that happens once every 175 years. The scientists in the 60s calculated the trajectories to slingshot the probes around Jupiter and Saturn, using nothing but early mainframes.
Someone in the comments said that Voyager, Apollo, and Hubble are NASA's top three achievements, and everything else is a distant fourth. It sparked a bit of a debate about the value of space exploration versus fixing problems on Earth, which is a tale as old as time on Hacker News. But you cannot deny the sheer romance of a machine built when Jimmy Carter was president, still phoning home from the space between the stars at 160 bits per second.
From ancient tech to the cutting edge of web security, our fourth story is a deep technical dive by a security researcher named Pacody. The title says it all. ChatGPT will not let you type until Cloudflare reads your React state.
This was a brilliant piece of reverse engineering. The author noticed that every time you send a message on ChatGPT, Cloudflare's turnstile runs a silent program in your browser. They managed to intercept and decrypt the bytecode of this program, and what they found goes way beyond standard browser fingerprinting.
Normally, bot detection checks things like your GPU, your screen resolution, or your fonts to make sure you are running a real browser. Turnstile does all that, but it also checks 55 specific properties, including Cloudflare network edge headers and, crucially, the internal state of the ChatGPT React application.
Right. It is looking for React router context and client bootstrap data. This means a bot cannot just spoof a browser fingerprint or load a headless browser that just downloads the HTML. It actually has to fully render and hydrate the specific React single-page application to get the security token. It is bot detection moving up the stack to the application layer.
The author even figured out that the encryption key for the payload was being shipped right inside the instructions as a float literal. But the Hacker News thread for this was gold because an actual OpenAI integrity engineer, going by My Name is Nick T, showed up in the comments. He explained that these checks are necessary to protect their free tier from massive scraping and abuse, ensuring limited GPU resources go to real humans.
That kicked off a massive debate about scraping. Some users felt it was highly hypocritical for OpenAI, a company that famously scraped the entire internet to train its models, to complain about people scraping them. It is the ultimate irony.
But others pointed out the difference in marginal cost. Scraping a static HTML blog costs the host pennies. Scraping an expensive LLM inference API costs OpenAI a fortune in compute. It's a fascinating arms race. As bots get better at faking browser environments, defenders have to tie the verification directly to the execution of the heavy, expensive application code. It's a brilliant technical solution, even if the cat and mouse game is exhausting for everyone involved.
Our final story today is a really sobering one. Police used AI facial recognition to wrongfully arrest a Tennessee woman for crimes committed in North Dakota, a state she says she has never even visited.
This is a nightmare scenario. Angela Lips, a 50-year-old grandmother, spent over 5 months in jail because an AI tool incorrectly matched her face to a shoplifting suspect in Fargo. The police eventually admitted to a few errors and dropped the charges, but the damage to her life, both financially and emotionally, is already done.
What really enraged the Hacker News community was the apparent lack of basic police work. As a user named FirefoxD pointed out, did anyone even bother to investigate? Did they check her alibi? Did they look at her phone location data? It seems like they just trusted the machine output and skipped the actual detective work.
Exactly. The AI flagged her and they just went with it. In the comments, people shared their own horror stories of the legal system, pointing out that the incentive structure for police and prosecutors is often heavily skewed towards securing convictions rather than finding the truth. Once the AI gives them a suspect, confirmation bias kicks in hard.
There was a strong call in the thread for severe consequences for this kind of sloppy police work. If officers can completely ruin someone's life for half a year without doing basic corroboration, there needs to be accountability. Otherwise, as one commenter put it, we are all guilty until cleared by the algorithm.
It is a stark warning about deploying immature AI tools in high-stakes environments like law enforcement. Technology should assist human judgment, not replace it entirely, especially when someone's freedom is on the line. We talk a lot about the magic of AI on this show, but stories like this ground us in the very real human cost of getting it wrong.
And that is a wrap for today's episode of HN Pod. Five incredible stories that really capture the spectrum of tech today, from the wonders of space exploration to the dark sides of surveillance and AI.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or leave us a review. We will be back tomorrow with another batch of the top stories from Hacker News.
Until then, keep building and stay curious. See you tomorrow.